You're listening to Knowing Faith, a podcast of the Village Church. This is Kyle Worley, and I'm joined by my co-hosts today, Jen Wilkin and JT English. And today we're also joined by Julie Wilding. Julie Wilding is one of our colleagues here at the Village Church, and she is a minister who on staff at TVC who helps focus in on children's ministry and children's discipleship in the life of this church. And today we ask the question, can kids be theologians? And we hope you enjoy the discussion on today's episode. All right. Well, here we are today, and Jen is bundled up. Is it too cold in here, Jen?
It is so cold.
What room have you ever been in that did not require a blanket?
All right. Let's talk about sexism in work environments, shall
Hard
we?
Hard right turn.
I feel like you walked right into this, but do you know why?
I feel
why?
Like I always walk right into it.
Do you know why buildings are kept at the temperature that they're kept at?
I'm sure it has something to do with
the economy.
It's
finances.
Based on an algorithm of what a 154-pound man perceives to be the correct temperature in a room. It was developed in the 1960s, and the metabolic rates of men and women are not the same.
I want to dispute this, but I don't know that I have the data to
you
know,
you just can't
I'll send
have,
you a link to the article. We'll put a link to the article in the show notes.
You can't even have fun anymore, can you? Just make a... hey, look, a little trite comment about the AC. Well, hold on. Let me actually explain to you how...
the man is keeping the woman down. Sorry.
Okay, great. landmines. Welcome today to Knowing Faith. We are joined by a very special guest, Julie Wilding.
Hello. It's great to be here.
We are delighted to have you. Julie, tell us a little bit about what you do at TVC.
Yeah, so I am the preschool minister at the Flower Mound campus, so I oversee birth through kindergarten for our campus.
How long have you been here, Julie, now?
I think it's 7.5-ish years, yeah.
Now, by overseeing birth, are you present at every birth?
I am. I make it my job to be there at every birth.
Now, that
it's
is
important. Yeah, it's that important,
is,
Kyle.
That is real close pastoral
proximity.
That's a pro
tip for you.
Yeah, I admire your commitment to be with and among the people. You know, what is it the Pope said that, or maybe it wasn't the Pope. But I'm going to attribute to the Pope because why not? He speaks ex cathedra. That a pastor should smell like a shepherd should smell like their sheep. And
Paul.
So that was Paul.
I'm just kidding.
Wait, what? That's in that pre-Corinthians, third Corinthians. The forgotten letter. Julie, we're so glad that you're here. Honored that you're here. Julie is one of my favorite people whenever I did office at the Flower Mound campus making hallway small talk because you shoot straight.
Mm-hmm. Like some people you hide when you see them coming down the hall, but not Julie.
No.
Thank you.
No, and I know that I was...
Think.
I don't hide for anybody on staff. Anybody.
Okay.
I don't...
Yeah. We feel so...
You don't have to because we're all hiding from you.
Oh my God. Lee, man, we are hot
really.
Today. Spicy. Okay. Well, we are asking a question today, and we're going to start with the big question, and then we'll just kind of... dig into the details here. So let's start with like the biggest question, which is kind of framed, yes, you know, can kids be theologians?
Are we answering?
No, Julie's going to answer.
Well, she's the...
Yeah, so I'm going to answer with a resounding yes, okay. They can yes. be okay. theologians. I would say they are theologians. Maybe the better question is, do you consider children to be people, right?
Amen.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So are they whole people or are they people in waiting or somehow they don't have opinions until they get to be older or whatnot? But so I think that's a better question is, are children whole people? And if the answer is yes, which I think we would collectively say, yes, they are whole people, then yes, they are theologians. They can be theologians and they are theologians.
Well, when we're, so yes, in this question is this question of are children whole people? But we also need to probably just for the listener, when we say theologian, what are we actually even talking about? I guess broadly, it's like one who has has beliefs about God and operates from them.
Yeah, so then if that's true, if that's the definition, everybody is. That's so right. The question isn't, are
every,
you one? It's
every person.
How are you
every
one?
Person
every
is, person. How are you one? Right. Are you a good one? Mm-hmm. Do your thoughts about God align with God's thoughts about God and God's revelation of himself?
Let's come back to that, though. I'd love to hear from the table, because I felt like when you asked that question, Jen definitely was giving you like the amen, amen on our kids, whole people. Mm-hmm. Are there ways in which we operate as if they're not, either as households or as the church? And in what ways do you see that most commonly?
Well, you know, I just watched the Mr. Rogers documentary recently, and I was like, yeah, he gets this. Yeah. And I'm trying to, but even prior to having seen that, the idea of our children are our neighbors has been one that has been compelling to me, because we often will speak to our children in a way we would never speak to our neighbor. We speak to them about things in different tones, or we neglect to speak to them about things that we should speak to them about, and then just our general treatment of them. We often, in our frustration with them, because of the self-control that they are learning, that's developmentally appropriate to them, we dismiss them as sort of second-class citizens, and they're actually the closest neighbors to us that we're supposed to love in the Great Commandment. And then just in addition to that, my mentor was a children's minister at my previous church, and she would always say, "Children are not the church of tomorrow. Children are the church of today."
That's right.
And that was a formative thing for me to understand, because they're not my future in the home. They're not my future family members who will one day be fully formed. They are in full relationship with me at all times and deserve to be treated as such.
Mm. Yeah, developmentally different than you.
Right.
You mentioned self-control, which I think is a big one. And I would agree with you. I think one area in the church where we tend to get it wrong is that, and I hear this a lot, is I just need a break is something that is said. You know, and so children's ministry then becomes not a place where theology is being taught to their children, but rather a break so that they can go worship. And so I think that's a big way. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's a big way that kids are a bit overlooked sometimes in the church.
Right. So they're like not equitable participants in the worship of the church. Mm-hmm. They're like they're operational obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, these kids are kind of rowdy. Like, can you maintain the rowdiness while we all go do the Jesus stuff?
That's right.
Well, right, especially if you view what's happening in, quote, big church as an experience. Like, this is my experience that I'm going to go have. Well, you wouldn't take a small child with you to a rock concert because they might ruin your evening out. So
they
why
will.
Would you take that? And I'm not equating the worship service with a rock concert, but I'm saying if you have more of an entertainment mentality around what's happening in the gathering, then you're going to be less likely to, you're going to see children as an obstacle to your participation in church rather than as those who are coming to participate in church as well. Mm-hmm.
So let's imagine that the listener at this point either already came into this going, I do believe in theological instruction of my children, and I really want to do that. I want to try to equip them in this way. Or now that they've heard a little bit, they're like, okay, yeah, I think I see the value here, and I didn't beforehand. What have we learned, either as parents or as ministers or pastors in the life of this church, about how to do this? Like, how to teach kids to theology, how to teach a doctrine to children? What have we learned?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we've learned is that they can learn, and they're actually oftentimes better students than adults are.
Yep.
So they're constantly learning. I mean, that is the stuff of childhood, right? Is you're just constantly learning, you're exploring, everything is new. And so they're just little sponges. And so I think it's fascinating to see what they can learn. In fact, I know over the years, we've had to even beef up our curriculum, because what we were teaching is like, oh man, they actually can handle more than this. We need to put a little bit more meat on these bones, because they can just absorb at a rate that I think adults can't oftentimes.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
What are some of the things, Julie, for those who don't know, what are some of the, I think you guys can, is it core truths?
Foundational truths.
Foundational truths with Little Village and Kids Village, or pre-K and elementary.
Yeah, like, that's a great question.
What are some of the core things that you guys are teaching? You don't have to give everything, because I know that that when they get older, it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But what are some of the things that you guys are teaching?
Yeah, so our curriculum is based off of 5 foundational truths, and you could really call, instead of foundational, you could say doctrinal truths, you could say, I guess, but foundational truths. And so God is good. God made everything. God's in charge of everything. God wants to talk with us, and Jesus came to save sinners. And so every one of our lessons revolves around one of those 5 foundational truths. And so when the curriculum was being developed, it was like, all right, well, we can't teach everything, either developmentally or just really developmentally. You can't teach everything there is to know to a child. But when they are in preschool, these are the 5 things we really want them to know, so that going into elementary, when they start to teach more on the nature and character of God by way of the attributes of God, they already have this really good working foundation of who God is and what he's done. Mm.
And what are some of the ways? Actually, I was about to say, Jen has like a celebrity in her house in the kids' ministry at the Village.
She does. Mr. Wilkin.
Mr. Jeff tries to teach kids this?
You know, what's interesting is both of our husbands.
Yeah,
actually,
oh, really?
That's right. Yeah,
okay.
Jeff and Mike are buddies around.
So
us.
Is it a pulpit with like a 40-minute lecture on Isaiah 6?
Oh, totally. No, this is what Jeff did. He does it not just for the children of the Village. He did it for our children. Can you imagine what a beat down it would have been if I had been responsible for all of the instruction of the children around theological matters? I'm not exactly known as the fun parent in our home. And so, but he, on the other hand, he just gets kids, right? And so that's one of the things that he brings, particularly to kids' villages. They are doing really great content, and he knows how to make it engaging and fun. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just, and I would say the same is true of adult education as well. I think we can lose sight of that our enthusiasm for it and our obvious love and enjoyment of the teaching process and the learning process are something that both adults and children pick up on that creates a hunger in them. And so Jeff is really good at asking how is a child going to hear this, mm-hmm. and what's going to make this stick? What's the thing that they're going to remember for the rest of their lives? Because we did this one thing this week, and I mean, he recently did a lesson on foot washing. It was the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and so he does.
He told me about this.
Oh, it was a little. I was like, well, that might get one of us fired. Right. I don't know. He had like the, you know, that he poured all this gunky stuff. He had emptied out our compost pail into this container, and then had the kids like walk around in it, and
because it's like this is what they
this
would
is what
be
the
walk-
road would have been right. like, yeah, and then had them wash their feet afterwards, just to give them this very tangible
That's
example
memorable.
Of this is how low Christ goes when he goes to wash our feet physically, and then spiritually there's that parallel. So just thinking awesome. Creatively about how to teach truths we all need to hear in ways that are developmentally appropriate.
Sometimes Mr. Jeff pulls out the guitar to teach as well.
Oh yeah,
he's a singer.
A big way that TVC is trying to do this is through song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I want to talk about that for a little bit.
Talk about that. This is one of my favorite things.
Before you talk about it, can I sing some praises and sing? That I did not mean to do that because I'm not going to sing.
No,
that.
I would love to.
Actually, please, I don't want
sing
you to.
So here's the thing that I love about some of the stuff that TVC is doing around this, whether it's actually in the services you do for kids, but then there's also some resources you guys are putting together around like scripture memory. Mm-hmm. That's probably my favorite thing you guys do is these little. I think the worship team has come alongside you guys, and what do we call them? Just memory verses, I guess.
So we have our memory verse calendar. Is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking about worship sets?
No, memory verse calendar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's the memory verses you guys are doing, and it's to song. And like you can actually get them on Instagram or on social media. And so I just happened to see one once. And so I just, every night before I go to bed, I play it with Thomas. And so we'll talk about whatever core truths he's learning that week. And so he'll say, Jesus came to save sinners or whatever it is. And we'll do the scripture memory. Here's what blew my mind. Why, if this is, if there's any reason to do this, well, there's lots of reasons. Here's one of them. I think I've talked about this a little bit on the podcast. My family's been in a tough season the last 6 months or so. I haven't gone into detail that here. But some of you know that we've just had been in a tough season, and I was having a really tough day one day. And just was kind of down in the dumps, depressed, frustrated. And if I'm honest, kind of angry with the Lord and just kind of like, we're just asking the question, what are you doing? And my little boy, who has no idea what's going on, he's 3. He was only 2.5 at this point. Came like bounding down the stairs with a smile on his face, singing, "Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases." Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I was brought to tears.
Yeah.
Because kids are theologians, not just as learners, but also as teachers to us. They teach us theology. And I was just reminded in that moment, my little 2.5-year-old, the reason I'm catechizing him and that my church is interested in catechizing him isn't just so that he can receive theology, but so that he can be a participant in this community of shaping and forming us and reminding me of God's goodness and God's grace to us. And it was just the Lord used my little boy in a moment that I needed it. I wasn't at church. It was after a long day of work. It was a hard medical day for my family. And for my little boy to say, "Dad, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases." Mm-hmm. I was just, I was brought back to the goodness of God and the truth of God. So talk about why we do that and how awesome it is. Because if you follow TBC on social media, they put these out about once a week, maybe every couple weeks, and they're just awesome. You can just watch them on Instagram. They're like a minute long.
Yep. Yeah. So the memory verse calendar started as just a way to help families, have one verse they're concentrating on for the month. So don't stress about what you might teach but rather we're going to give you a verse per month in a calendar form. And then also in that calendar is what we're teaching that month. And so that's a helpful tool as well. And then it sort of morphed into, man, don't we all just learn better through song? And so we thought we should just put a straight scripture to song. And I think anytime you can do that, it's a win. Mm-hmm. There's some really great resources out there. We have them, certainly, but there are others too. But I think just putting scripture to song, man, it just helps you hide God's word in your heart, doesn't it?
It really does.
Just in a way, and so I think with Thomas, I remember you coming to my office and telling me that story and us just like weeping together in your office. But there really is something about, the earworm of a song that does help you hide that truth into your heart. And so we do put those songs out once a month is what it is. And they've been really, really helpful. Along with that, we've got our worship sets.
I'm memorizing scripture as a result.
Yeah, don't you though? And our worship sets are the same way. And so we've got a worship set for each of the foundational truths that we have. And those have been really intentional too. That has evolved over time. So it was originally just an original song about the foundational truth. And those were great. But then we kind of got to this space where we thought, man, wouldn't it be awesome if our kids had those really staple one or two line songs that they carry with them their whole life long. So you think about Jesus loves me, this I know, and so that just repeats over and over and over in your head. And we wanted songs that were like that. Not so much even for when they're in preschool, although that's great, but those are the songs you think about when you're in middle school and high school and when you come up against adversity in life and you just, those little reminders through song. And so our worship sets that involved into, great, let's make a little chorus like that kids can kind of just hang on to. And then our worship team just created this really sweet benediction too that's all Trinitarian and beautiful.
Preach.
And it's just
why
so
don't
sweet.
You just quote it for us? You don't have to sing
it. Oh, man.
Can you quote it? Did I just put you on the spot?
Thank you, God, for everything. With our voices, we will sing. You are God, Father, Spirit, Son.
I love it.
Good.
It's really good. It really is beautiful, too.
It is beautiful.
We want to take a moment to make you aware of our sponsor for Knowing Faith this season, the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And some of my favorite people came from there.
Really? Who, JT, did you go to Southern
Seminary? I went to Southern. I had a fantastic experience.
I did as well, but I didn't go as far into it as you did.
Hey, but you gave it a valiant effort.
Oh, thank you.
If you're thinking about doing further education, we hope that you're doing education in your church. But if you're looking for that next step, Southern's a fantastic place.
Yeah, so if you want to find out what makes Southern Seminary unique, you can visit them online at sbts.edu. And if you decide to apply, you can do so for free with the offer code KNOWINGFAITH. Again, the address is sbts.edu. Well, so if somebody's listening and they're like, okay, I'm bought in,
I see how the church is trying to do this. Your church is trying to do this, but I'm not a leader in a church, and maybe the church I'm going to is building this out or wants to build this out or whatever. What are some things that somebody who's listening can do in our home? So like we've talked about some of the things that we're doing in the life of the church, but now just we're all parents in the room. Like we can all talk about how we're actively have either done it or are trying to do it. And so what are some ways that we can do this in our home? What are some examples of that?
Y'all are looking at me, so I guess. I want to hear what Jen has to say.
I'll give the totally unpopular and uneducated, because I've got a three, you guys have already done this, and you work in this, and you've got kids in like PhD college, awesome stuff. But but I'll say the one that maybe comes from church history the most that I think is just a lost art in the church is practicing catechisms.
Yeah.
And not having to recreate the wheel. Like, I love the stuff TBC does. When we do, I'm not trying to say we're recreating the wheel, but like, just go get the Westminster Shorter Catechism and read it with your kids.
Well, New City Catechism is great. Really good resources.
Yeah, the New City content's great. Like, a simple thing that we do with Lydia is when we're laying her down, like as it gets close to bedtime, I'll go, Lydia, who is God? And she'll go, Father. And I'll go, say, Anne. And she'll say, Son. I'll say, Anne. And she'll say, Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then what I'll do is I'll roll through. I go, Lydia, who loves you? And she'll go, Mommy. Daddy. And then at the end we get to God and go, and God loves you more than anyone else. Like, he loves you more than anyone, like more than Mommy, more than Daddy. And that's where we've been able to get with Lydia. So that's like one simple way of, when we think catechism, a lot of times if you Google Westminster Shorter or Larger, you're going to be like, wait a second.
Yeah, I'm way behind.
But it's just starting with getting my daughter to think about God.
Right.
And about herself in light of God. We at the church that I've planted, kind of piggybacking off of what the village has done, have oriented around four foundational truths. So we lost one in the transition. Julie, I'm sorry.
I know which one.
but the four foundational truths we've oriented around is God is good, God is great, God is gracious, and God is glorious. And so with my daughter, I'll say, hey, listen, God is what? And she'll say, you know, usually it's whatever truth she just heard, like the past Sunday. God is great. And I'm like, what does that actually mean? And she can't talk to me about it yet. Mm-hmm. But I also get to say, you know what? It means that God's in control of everything, which means that even though Dad had a bad day, like, God is still in control.
Yeah.
Like, he's still in charge of everything. Yeah. And I'm so excited about that. And so it's just simple stuff like that. We read the Jesus Storybook Bible. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm probably not blowing anybody's mind with that. It's like one of the more popular kids kind of specific things. But we read the Jesus Storybook Bible. So like, these are just a couple simple things that we do that require very little. We listen to the music that TVC puts out and other churches. I think about Seeds.
Seeds Family Worship.
Yeah, Family Worship, really great. Which is great stuff. So anyways, I'll throw it back to the table.
Yeah, I love all of that. I think I love New City's Catechism. We've used that in our home for years. They have a really great app, too, which is a really great resource for you to use as well.
Well, there's music now as part of that,
music,
too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, music. Mm-hmm. So helpful. I think the other thing, too, whenever I think of catechism, I think about, man, these are the things that you're doing all the time. And Kyle, you kind of hit on that. So you're talking about, man, you're just asking Lydia some simple questions, and that evolves into a conversation. And these are the things that we should be doing in our home all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you're considering Deuteronomy 6, this is what we're talking about. When you're laying down, and when you're rising up, and when you're walking on the way, this is what we're talking about, is you are constantly just having conversations, bringing everything back to a gospel conversation. Because you can redeem just about everything, right?
Right. It's
everything.
Like, it's like when Lydia says mine, Lauren, my wife, or I will get on our knees. Lydia, nothing is yours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing is yours. Everything belongs to the Lord. Nothing is mine. That's nothing is yours. Everything belongs to him. And it's better that way. Mm-hmm. And now, has she stopped saying mine? No. She still says mine.
Yep.
Okay. And are there times where we don't do that? Yes. There are times where we're like, no, please give me the cup now. Mm-hmm. But as a rule, we try to get down on our level and try to say that, because you're right. Trying to capture those moments is how oftentimes at TVC, that's the language we use. So.
Yeah. That's right. I think it's really fun too when you get into, when your kids push back, when you say, you know, I'll say to my kids, who's in charge? And they say, God. Yeah. Man. That's right. Yes. God is in charge and has placed me in authority. Yeah.
But you're really hitting on it, Julie. I think parents, you know, my kids are grown and out of the house, and parents often confuse discipleship as its own conversation. Like it's this thing that happens at certain times and in certain places. And what you really are looking for is to have a home in which there is a climate of conversation. So you don't have big conversations. You will have big conversations, but you don't live in dread or anticipation of the big conversation because you're having thousands of small ones as part of the rhythm of your family life. And I would love to say that using New City Catechism or putting your kids through Little Village and Kids Village is the secret sauce to raising a child who understands theological matters, but ultimately it will be what you've modeled for them mm-hmm. that will speak the loudest. And so you can't fake it. Like yeah. you right. can't, if they perceive, and kids have radar for this, if they perceive that the only time that you are talking to them about the things of God or that you're talking about the things of God is when you sit down for family devo or whatever you call it, they'll pick up on that. Mm-hmm. They're going to be watching you. And if your love for those things extends beyond the studied moments, they will know that, and they will want, children want to be like their parents in an all things equal mm-hmm. setting, right? Mm-hmm. And so you want to be like you as you are being like Christ.
That's right. That's discipleship.
Yeah.
Pointing them to Christ, and you do that by modeling. Yeah. So I think you're right, Jen.
So what would you say in closing here? What would you say if a parent was like, okay, yeah, but they're just repeating me.
Right.
Like they're just repeating what I say. Like it feels like because you know I think and this is I don't think something that's constrained by age, because a middle schooler and a high schooler for tactical reasons can do mimicry better than an elementary kid can, and so like for appeasement. I mean, I can think of countless times where, like, my mother and father were trying to do some sort of sound instruction, and I was able to play back the version they wanted mm-hmm. because I wanted something else. Mm-hmm. So, like, to a parent, regardless of the age of their children, who are going, okay, I'm trying to do this kind of instruction, and I feel like either because of their, like, reasoning ability, like a small child, they're just giving me back what I've given to them. They're, like, kind of vomiting mm-hmm. it back to me. Or for more tactical reasons, like an older kid, they're just giving it back to me because they have some other ulterior motive. What would you say to them? How would you encourage them to persevere?
Yeah, I would say keep at it. So repetition is key for kids. It's key for everyone, but specifically kids, I think repetition is huge. They need to hear something over and over and over again. It's just like, think about when you're teaching your kids colors, or you're teaching them, what does the cow say? You don't expect them to remember what the color right. red is after the first time you tell them, or that a cow says moo after the first time you tell them. It's that repetition over and over and over again. And one thing, when I was thinking about this question, something that Jen says all the time just kept coming into my head, which was when she talks about studying God's word, she talks about how it is not, that it's a savings account, not a debit account. Mm-hmm. And I think the same is true for catechizing your children, as you are making deposits and making deposits and making deposits, or as we say around here, you're placing kindling around mm-hmm. their heart in hopes that one day the Holy Spirit is going to ignite it. Mm-hmm. So I would say, parents, don't be so concerned that they're regurgitating information or that they're just saying what you want them to hear, because that's not your job. The motivation of their heart is right. not your job.
Right. Right.
Your job is to lay the foundation. Your job is to lay the kindling around their heart, so to speak, in hopes that the Holy Spirit will do what the Holy Spirit does, which is regeneration. And so,
well, and I just add that a lot of times parents can be, Christian parents can feel a fastidiousness around, but I don't want to raise a little hypocrite who knows how to say all the right things but doesn't feel all the right mm-hmm. things. And that, I think, is often just a disconnect with how children develop. Mm-hmm. Like developmentally, children learn by doing. And so when it comes to things like, well, I don't want them to apologize until they genuinely feel repentance. It's like, okay, well, but you taught them to say ma'am and sir before That's right. they had any respect for the people they were saying it to. We give our children the language they will need, praying that the Lord will give them the motives to use it. But everything that your child learns is learned before they appreciate the why, mm-hmm. the things that keep them from getting run over in the street, the things that keep them, you know, we're keeping them safe, and we're giving them good tools. And also, what's the alternative, right? This is the thing I always think mm-hmm. is so funny, is like, mm-hmm. are you going to withhold the good mm-hmm. things of the Lord from mm-hmm. your child because you think that there is it'll be a more honest dialogue at some point. You know, it's like, no, you want to raise a child who grows up in that ecosystem.
That's right.
And then trust the Lord.
Yeah. And I think I'm in it, with a 2-year-old mm-hmm. right now. And so one of the things, as I've been studying the Gospel of Mark to preach through in the spring, that I've been so encouraged by is in my weariness of having to feel like, man, I'm repeating the same thing over and over again. Looking at the ministry of Jesus, I've grown encouraged because he's doing that.
Yes.
The Son of God with his disciples is repeating the same thing over and over, and they don't get it.
We don't outgrow the liturgies of childhood.
Exactly.
They just become different liturgies.
And so it's been such a consolation and encouragement to me to look to Jesus and be like, yeah, this is part of imaging Christ to those that we're trying to lead is repetition.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's just a lot of repeating the same things over and over.
One little final thought with regard to what you guys are doing, Julie, that I love is that and this is what I think parents can wrestle with. You're building out, you've thought about the when and the how and the why. Like there's a scope and there's a sequence to what you want to see children move through during their time that they're spending in your environments in the church. And I think that's the thing that parents can pay attention to is it is important to have many conversations, but there can be a logical way to have those conversations mm-hmm. that is appropriate to the age of the child and that honors the direction that you want their learning to go. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things I really appreciate about what you guys are doing is you're thinking really hard about, like you said, what is the most important thing that we want a preschooler to know when they move into the next level of education?
Yeah. You guys are doing great work.
Thanks.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Well, hey, listen, as we kind of wind down, I had a different question, but we've gotten to I had a question on resources for doctrine and kids, but we're not going to do that. Can I take us in a different direction real quick?
Show notes.
Yeah, we'll put some resources for Doctrine and Kiddos in the show notes. I just want to hear real quick, what are you enjoying right now? It could be like, man, I'm enjoying this movie, this television show.
Guys, I'm watching album. Parks and Rec.
And you're loving
so
it?
I'm loving
you.
It. Last night, I watched the episode where Chris Traeger comes. Last night. So officially, I'm like in.
You're in it.
In.
You figured out. You figured out the Tom Haverford.
It's the magic.
And I've
got to
tell you the hook of for Tom was Tom Haverford, uh-huh. and I've got a bone to pick with you, buddy.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in what ways do you feel like you're different?
In every single way possible.
I don't know that it's as clear cut as you think it is. To Julie.
You know who I think you are?
But when Chris and Ben show up, though, that is when the show...
That's the turning point.
Like, yeah, so I hit the turning point. But here's the great thing, is we have been loving it even up until this point.
Okay, yeah, it's incredible.
So we're watching it almost every night.
Cosign.
Speaking of liturgies.
Okay, now who did you think I was?
Show notes.
Awesome, hashtag show notes. Julie, what are you enjoying right now? It could be an album, a book, a thing. And what do you like, yes.
Yeah, well, sticking with shows, I guess, Mason King turned me on to The Good Place. Do y'all watch The Good Place?
Yes.
Yeah, so JT, you're...
How far in are you?
Are you nodding approvingly?
I've not watched it. I'm not watching. When I'm in a show, I'm all in on Parks.
It's very good.
Kyle's the one who told me about it.
Yes, it's very good. So I'm enjoying that. In life, this is kind of sappy, but I'm really enjoying being the mom of a teenager mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. Guys, mm-hmm. don't be scared. It's such good stuff. Mm-hmm. She is she's my sister in Christ, and that is just a blessed relationship. And so that's been really fun.
Love it.
So The Good Place and being a mom to a teenager.
All right.
Yeah, it's the same.
I watched I mentioned the Mr. Rogers thing. If you have not seen it, waste no more time. It was just fantastic. He was a person for whom people couldn't find a category. Mm. And I thought, man, that he was an alien and a stranger. So that was, I made the mistake of watching it on a plane. Mm-hmm. I would say don't do that. Be sure that you are alone or with people you love and have a box of Kleenex. But I have loved that. And we're also working our way through The Good Place. And it's just thought-provoking. I love how each week I'm like, oh, I probably should have already thought about this as a Christ follower. Mm. It's a good show.
Yeah, it's a good show. I feel like so I'm a big fan of this guy named Andy Gullihorn. He's a singer-songwriter, and I think all of his albums are just phenomenal. But he just released an album called Everything As It Should Be. I'm not getting any kickbacks here. Okay. Like, it's just an
unlike the toothbrush thing.
Unlike the toothbrush stuff where we are getting kickbacks. but everything as it should be is an incredible album. It just has ministered to me so deeply. So Everything As It Should Be, Annie Gellhorn, I'm listening to it all the time. It's very good. It's very, very, very good.
I'm going to go look it up.
Okay, great. Listen, hey, if there's anything that you heard us talk about on the show that you'd like to know more about, you can find details on our website, tvcresources.net. Thank you, Julie Wilding, for joining us. We want to commend your great work here in the life of this body. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See you next time. Grace and peace.